episode 13, the John and Tom Show.
Lucky 13.
Lucky 13. We're still doing it, everybody.
That's right.
We're still doing it. Thank you all for continuing to listen. I know your time is valuable, and we're going to try to make this a jam-packed show of tidbits and things that you want to hear. I have a listener from Florida that requested that we talk about one thing that I think it was a pretty good idea. So
okay. I'm all ears.
Linda, man, from Florida, okay, made this request that we maybe mention a few of the good things that have come from COVID. Everything's so negative. Are there any good things that have come from COVID? And I think there are. Do you have any off the top of your head, Tom? Because I have a couple.
Well, you know, I may be off base here, but if you've noticed, the flu is all but non-existent right now. And I think, and this is just my theories, but I think that the part of the offshoot from COVID is that everybody's been wearing masks, yeah, and practicing social distancing. And you got to remember, the flu is a virus too. It's just a different virus.
My question is, are they testing for the flu? Or are they only testing for COVID? Can you have both?
Well, but what I think that the deal is, John, that we don't have people reporting to emergency rooms and to physicians with the flu.
Yeah, well, they're testing with symptoms that are very similar to the flu.
Right.
But they get tested for COVID, and then they automatically get diagnosed with COVID. But maybe they also have the flu.
Oh, well.
Has anybody ever thought of that?
That's a good possibility. Yeah. I also
do think that, you know, the masks have for sure cut down on the transmission of anything, really. But I think COVID is taken priority in the medical community. The first thing they test you for is COVID. They don't test you for flu, typically.
Yeah.
And so I also not totally sure if you can have both the flu and COVID at the same time.
I would think yes. I would think that's a possibility.
That would be worth knowing for sure. But yeah. I think given the case, they're always going to test for COVID first. And if you have COVID, they don't care if you have the flu.
Well, a prime example of that is my 80-year-old sister-in-law went to the emergency room. In fact, she's had surgery since then. But she had really bad gallstones, it turns out. The first thing they did when she got to the emergency room, what did they do? They tested her for COVID.
Yeah, that's just what's going on. That's what's been happening. So, but the numbers have gone from, like, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands to like 200 cases in the whole country something crazy. So I think there's more to it than just it going away. I think there's COVID just taking priority as a serious issue.
Sure. Well, COVID will always be here. I mean, it's just like any other, it's like smallpox and polio. It's still here, but the herd is immune that it doesn't keep cropping up like it.
Yeah. Did. Yeah. Well, this mRNA vaccine that they have now is unique. I don't think they've done it before.
No, I don't think so.
And they've never done it for the flu. Flu only had small bits of the flu. That's your flu vaccine. You get a tiny, tiny bit of the flu.
Mm-hmm.
They're always, every year, they're trying to modify it to adjust to the current version of the flu.
Well, what it was for years, John, they would use attenuated viruses.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean that the virus is still alive, but it's been altered so that it's not pathogenic. So the whole idea is, okay, we give the live virus that can't cause disease because it's been altered, but it can stimulate the immune system to make antibodies.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of people, you know, like when I was a kid, remember when I got a smallpox vaccine, where I was sicker than a dog,
Yeah. Well, I think you can get a little sick from the flu vaccine. I don't know. It's from what I understand, it's like you're getting a little tiny bit. Maybe it's an attenuated version, but and the AstraZeneca one is like that. AstraZeneca one. So, but with the Pfizer and the Moderna, you cannot get COVID from those. You cannot get COVID from those two vaccines.
No.
They're a completely different type of vaccine. For those of you at home that don't know that already, I think a lot of people do know that, but a lot of people don't. So just to be clear, and if anyone out there is afraid of getting the vaccine, Getting COVID is much worse than anything that could happen from getting this vaccine. And there really is this very, 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 very small percentage of people that are having any real issues other than having a sore arm or maybe some very slight
Even have a sore arm. You know, my wife and I both are fully vaccinated because of our age. You know,
I am too.
Yep. Great. And my younger daughter, who's a ER nurse, has been fully vaccinated, which is great. I didn't have, it's kind of weird. I didn't have after, we get the Moderna after the second shot, I didn't have anything, but my wife got kind of, she felt pretty bad the day after and spiked a small fever.
Some people get a little bit of a side effect, but it's nothing serious and it goes away quick.
No, it didn't even last 24 hours.
Yeah. There's really no reason to not get it. Other good things, I would say, cleaner air, lower emissions for the first 6 months or so, starting last year around March.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everything shut down. So the earth got to take a few deep breaths.
Well, I think too, I have been impressed by the cooperation, between various pharmaceutical manufacturers. It's like, okay, man, you've got the virus. We can make your version also and put it out. And that's happened a lot. You know, it's kind of like it's been not a competition so much as it is a team effort between pharmaceutical companies. And that's good to see.
Yeah, there does seem like the richer countries are getting vaccinated first. It would be nice to see sort of equal distribution around the world, because it doesn't, or whoever's getting mostly impacted gets it.
Exactly.
Has a higher urgency to, like Brazil is the number one in right now per capita.
Yes.
They're getting crushed. So you should try to, you know, get them as much vaccine. And I think United States is still second, but we need to, you know, focus on that. Versus it just being like, oh, we're going to pay for it. You know, we have all the money. Let's hoard all the vaccines. But, well, it does seem like things are we've already hit the 100 million.
Yes.
In America. No. Yeah.
Yeah, we have. We've hit 100 million.
100 million in America. Yeah. And trying to get to 200 pretty soon. But it seems to be going pretty well. I don't really care who gets credit for it. I don't give a crap. Who takes credit for that?
No, it's who gets credit for it?
It's the scientists.
Developed and it.
The political stuff isn't involved here. Really.
Has nothing to do with it. Yeah. That's just
whether it's Biden or Trump or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Who cares? The scientists were the one that did it. They, you know, spent the long hours. But other good results from this: more quality time with family. If you're able to pull that off and still get money. Not everybody was fortunate enough to do that, but you know, I think a lot of people did and were forced to work at home. Their kids started going home, and then you realize like, whoa, this is a different overall view of life a little bit. You know, there's good and bads from it. You get sick of your family, but I think, you know, there's people are, you know, down the road in 10 years, 15 years, we start, you know, I mean, well, I think we'll get back to normal in about a year or two, but maybe in 10 years or so, you look back on that time, you'll be like, that was really special. Even though it was a horrible time, like for some people, for a large amount of people, actually, it might be looked at as a special time that you had, you know, a little more time with your family. So
there's always out of bad times comes some good.
Sure.
I mean, it always does. And I think one thing that to expound on what you were saying, it seems like over the past 30 years or so, because of video games and all this, that we've become kind of dysfunctional as families. You know, it's like, you know, the kids come home from school, they go right to the video games.
Oh, yeah, that's rampant in our society, rampant.
Yeah.
It's been building and building, and as technology gets better and better and more intrusive and more, you know, overtaking people's lives, it just makes people separate even more. And that's definitely an issue.
Well, I think, what you said is well taken, is that this has kind of forced families back to the, I don't want to say the old days, but, you know, the prior hyper technology age, where they're actually communicating more, maybe, spending more, like you said, more quality. Well, they're
forced to be physically together more.
Exactly, exactly. So, but that's not a bad thing. No, I think it's not. I think, you know, it's going to, the bonding, the family bonding, I think is going to be better.
It's challenging for certain age groups that are like, you know, maybe 15 to 18. It's like your whole life is sort of wrapped up in social gatherings and things. Yeah. And, or if you're a freshman in college or, you know, it's just that's a tough age for this to have happened. Yeah. You know, I have two kids, 1 and 3, and it didn't really impact us very much. We're very fortunate to have, you know, it just gave us more time with them. Really. Well, so it's cool. You know, we're also home a lot with them anyway, but we're fortunate. I feel grateful that, you know, they weren't older. It's just really, really tough on these kids, you know, but.
Well, I have two granddaughters, right? One's 18 and the other one's 14. Okay. So the 18-year-old is, you know, she's working, she's got part-time jobs and she's going to school. She wants to study nursing. But the 14-year-old, this really had a bad effect on her. I mean, she was really down and out because, you know, she was, like you said, she used to being around her friends and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's gone.
And you can't take anything away from them because this is their life. You're only 14 once.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And for that whole year when you're 14, a developmental year, you're isolated. And it sucks. But anyway, on the other side is that you get to spend more time with your family.
is true.
Other good things, less traffic, although that's definitely coming back now. But for a while, I was out in California when it started, and it was amazing. You don't have to, you know, if you're working at home, you don't have to commute. That's a huge deal. Like, you know, especially if you have a long commute, you didn't have to commute. That's just, that stress level just goes down.
Well, you know, working at home, I saw an article the other day where working at home because of COVID, we got so many people working at home. We never had work at home before.
It wasn't possible, really.
It was impossible. Yeah. But now, a lot of them, Ford, for example, has 300,000 people working at home, and they decided, you know what? Why bring them? Why do they need to come back to the office? You know, when
certain jobs don't need to be at work.
Yeah,
certain ones do.
In this,
I mean, it's just save so much money. I mean, and time, you know.
Oh yeah,
time and money and congestion on the road and gas and so.
Well, in this day of IT technology, a lot like you said, it's what's the difference between somebody sitting in a cubicle?
Yeah, half the people sitting at the cubicle email each other anyway.
and they're working on a computer, so why can't people do that at home? As long as the work gets done, who cares?
Well, the collaboration effect is important in some lines of work and businesses, tech businesses, like to have the collaborative effect, you know, going to the water cooler and talking about ideas and that intangible thing where, you know, the social aspect of work and you know, the conversations that you have in between doing your normal work. That can lead to ideas and things. Innovation.
This is true
innovation,
too.
You know.
Yeah.
You lose that. So the traffic, and then I also saw a lot of people in my neighborhood because we'd go out and walks a lot when it first happened, and we go, and I was like, "Who are you? You live in my neighborhood?" You know, like,
like
people were out walking their dogs, or out, and like, I didn't have any idea these people even lived in the neighborhood at the time, you know, and. I live, you know, this is back in California again, but I think meeting your neighbors and just building a sense of community. I explored my neighborhood so much. It was cool. And just got to know every nook and cranny, and you start talking to people, and it's just like old school, you know, like you're kind of, this is actually pretty cool where I live and my neighbors. And so people tend to hole up in their houses, depending on where you live. I mean, I think Indiana is a little bit more friendly in neighborhoods, in California, people kind of tend to stick to themselves a lot. Anyway, we were able to meet more neighbors, more outdoor time. And the other last one I had, I have a couple more, realizing how important teachers and healthcare workers are.
Oh, geez.
In particular teachers.
Yeah.
Because of how many, people have had to get their kids to get on Zoom and help with the coursework and all this stuff. And it's like, whoa, I had no idea how hard that is to do with, you know, just to get these kids and, you know, learning and keeping them going. It's hard. It's very hard. And I hope that people realize that the value, just like really, truly the value of these teachers, because they're taking care of your kids all day.
Well, you know, my older daughter is a special ed teacher. She has been for, I don't know, 20 some years. But anyway, a special ed, and she's had to work with special ed children online, but especially with special ed, that you don't have that you really need that personal contact. Yeah. So she said it's been very, very challenging, for her to do that. So yeah, you're right. This has changed how we look at things. You know, I think a lot of attitudes have changed because of this, you know, like first responders and whatever. Well, we never, but now all of a sudden, man, we said, you know, hey, these people are out there. They're putting it out there every day.
I wish we could pay teachers more. Seems like it's such a disparity of income and how important versus how important something is. Like, I know it's all based on capitalism and what brings in the most income, but if you really understood like what, you know, how important it is to have good teachers and, you know, mentoring children who are going to be in your society as adults. Like, that's the most important thing there is. Really, I mean, forget about Major League Baseball player who like entertains a few people and gets like $20 million a year. Like, I get that they're bringing in income, but that's like immediate income. But like each one of these kids has potential to, you know, be something great. And if they're not, you know, mentored right, they won't. They'll turn out, they could go the wrong way, and that's a huge burden on society. So it'd be nice if people could realize that, like, and value that, and let's pay teachers more. And but and healthcare workers too, especially like nurses and they really are front lines. And
they're all very dedicated people. You have to have it takes a you have to be dedicated to work those jobs.
Absolutely. You know, it's a love of the job. It's a love of what you're doing.
Well, you know,
it means more than, you know, it's not just a paycheck. It's not obviously not just paycheck, because you're not, you know, especially teachers. I think teachers get paid less than nurses. Teachers, because, you know, it's, a lot of them get paid, you know, not very well at all.
In Indiana, we have a $2 billion, that's billion with a B, dollar surplus.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, okay, so why is it sitting there?
What's that for?
Why don't we use that to pay teachers more? You know, why? It's good. To me, there should never be a surplus. I mean, the fact that we don't have a deficit is fine. But that money sitting there, that's $2 billion. That's a lot of money.
To me, it's pretty simple, because we're in a very capitalist society where there's no immediate return for teachers' product. The product is the child. They're not generating income right now. You know, and that's, you know, things that don't generate income don't get immediate, you know, attention.
But we need to look at these are the
senior citizens or teachers and children. Like, they're not really contributing right now to society for the most part. Like, they're almost kind of, they call it some quote unquote a drain on the society, you know, schools and senior citizens. But it's like, you know, you got to take care of your people, you know,
exactly.
I mean, kids and senior citizens. I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't know where it's going with that. But.
Well, anyway, I want to, you know, bumper stickers been around for years, and this is an old one that I always thought really hit home. When the bumper sticker says, if you can read this, thank a teacher.
somewhere along the line. Somebody,
that really sums it up.
And having
really
two little kids, somebody raised everyone. Everyone was raised by someone.
Exactly.
And somebody wiped their butt for, you know, 4 years.
Absolutely.
Every single person got their butt wiped by somebody. And cleaned, you know, it's kind of amazing. They kept them alive and gave them food and place to sleep, and somehow they survived.
Yeah,
completely dependent. You know, like especially the first up to 2 years, really. It's 2.5, 3 years. I mean, you know, completely dependent. Like my 3-year-old is a little more independent now, but it's so fun.
God, yeah.
So glad I had kids. It's just a lot of fun. Well, that was our positive segment. Was sort of positive. We started.
I love positive.
We started dabbling into some negatives, but I think overall, those. I hope Linda from Florida is satisfied with our positivity there.
Well, yeah, and Linda, if you have any ideas, let us know.
Yeah,
you know,
or anyone else out there. If you're looking to contact us for something you want us to talk about. Email us at thejohnandtomshow@gmail.com. thejohnandtomshow@gmail.com. And we will get it on the show. Another recent event that it sucks, obviously. It's the Boulder shooting.
Oh, God.
I wanted to just touch on that. It's another shooting. Nobody knows the guy's motives yet. He did it with an AR-15 that he bought during the time where they had stopped the ban on those particular guns. And I think it was an AR-15. It might have been a Ruger, but
he bought it 6 days before.
6 days before, and ten days before they had stopped the ban on those rifles.
Yes, so exactly.
He waited for it to end, and then he did it, and whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like, the initial knee jerk. So there's a couple of different sides to this. I want to just make a quick comment on the initial knee jerk reaction from the left was like, oh, the guy survived, so he must be a white male. And it starts getting, cause the prior, was it a week or two prior to that? It was the Atlanta shooting.
Yes.
With, Asian, six out of the people were Asians out of the 8 people. And and everyone said it was a hate crime. And it's like, how do you know that? I mean, the guy was crazy, and maybe he went to these massage parlors, or who knows if it was a hate crime. I don't know that. Nobody knows that. And in Stop Asian Hate, yes, there may be a lot of Asian hate out there. I haven't seen it. I'm trying to search to see, like, you know, this, I think there is definitely prejudice on anyone other than white people in this country.
Exactly. Yes.
But it's really just like, it really exploded. And so like anytime, you know, it was a white guy that shot, six out of, what about the other 2 people? They didn't get, you know, they weren't Asian.
Yeah.
So, and then this happens in Boulder, and the 10 people get killed, unfortunately, and one of them's an officer, and everybody assumes it's a white guy. Mm-hmm. Turns out he's a Syrian immigrant. Kind of looks white, though. So it's just very complicated because people automatically make these assumptions. And so their narrative was that it was a white guy, so it was a hate crime or something. You know, it's like the white guy did it again. But he was a Syrian immigrant. So that took all the air out of their argument, and they don't talk about it anymore.
No, this is true.
And so it's just, it's so politicized. It's like, can't we just like say, you know, there's a big problem in our country, mm-hmm. whether or not it's racist. It's like people are going out there and shooting people with these guns, with these crazy powerful guns. And whether it's based on hate or whatever, it's like, we've had so many crazy shootings in this country. It kind of slowed down during COVID because nobody was out. But, it's just insane. Like, I don't know if so how do you stop a hate crime, or what do you do about a hate crime when somebody designates it a hate crime? What difference is that between any other crime?
No.
It's still a crime. The person's dead. Whether you shoot a white person, a black person, or an Asian person, or Hispanic person, like, it's all bad. Like, and there have been, you know, a lot of white men that seem to be doing the worst ones. Like, the younger white males that are seriously disturbed, they tend to do the worst ones, but... I don't know. I mean, it's just interesting to see how people reacted to it. You know, there's an knee-jerk reaction. And it's, and the knee jerk reaction too is like, you know, because it, but all these people that were killed were white. Okay. Mm. They were white people in Boulder, Colorado, killed by a Syrian immigrant. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, is there any outcry? You know, there wasn't a lot of discussion about hate of from Syrians to white people or something. Like, it was all about, like, because the Asians got killed by a white guy, it's white guys are, it's just very complicated. I don't know. It just, something doesn't sit right in me when all this stuff, these jump to conclusions so quickly about blaming, in this white thing. I get it because there has been a lot of white guys that have done this.
But, oh, yeah.
But I just, okay, the point I'm making, I just wish people would take a second and let the information come and let's let the police do their work. Don't jump to conclusions and start saying all these things about things. Let's figure out what really happened and let them do their work. Mm-hmm. And stop all the BS in social media about, you know, white people this, black people this, Asian people this. It's a murder. It's a mass murder. It sucks. Let the police do their work and let them, you know, come out with the results. And, you know, there's just so much chatter and hate. And, you know, online it's just full of hate and back and forth. And it's like, it sucks. I don't know. It's hard to process. You know, I'm trying to talk it through. Maybe I'm not doing a very good job, but I find both sides guilty.
Yeah, you know, this business with the Asian hate. Okay, let's look at it this way. The guy that pulled off that mass shooting in Colorado, Syrian. So why aren't people targeting Syrians? Well, it's because they're not recognizable. Asians stand out.
Yeah.
It was just like during World War II, my grandparents were German immigrants, and nobody messed with them.
Well,
but the Japanese were put in internment camps. Why? Because my grandparents were European.
Well,
they looked like everybody else.
I forgot to mention one thing. So it's very important, which kind of you triggered it by saying that. The Asian hate thing that is now apparent is, you know, being blamed on Trump at calling it the China flu, the China virus. And that exactly. There is some validity to that. There is some validity. I do think it has been a rise events like this, and graffiti and beatings and, you know, acts of violence. That's true. There have been. Around the country, it's documented, and because of they're blaming it on the China virus, it's all China because they're so adamant about calling it China virus, China mm-hmm. Communist Party, villainizing and demonizing China and any pretty much any Asian race, and people don't even realize like this guy's Korean, that guy's Japanese, that guy's Vietnamese, it's not Chinese. I mean,
yeah,
it's like they're
all Asian.
They think it's just really 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 ignorant mentality. And that's unfortunate. So I want to make sure I put that in there because I don't think I was clear about it when I first started talking about it.
Well, you know, to me, John, that's as stupid as do you remember about this time last year when coronavirus, COVID.
Yeah.
We were calling it Corona.
Yeah, Corona.
And so, of the beer. So they started posting on social media that you could get it from drinking Corona beer.
Yeah.
And you know what? Unfortunately, a lot of people bought into that crap.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Their sales took a huge hit for a few months.
A big hit.
There's a lot of misinformation and just a lot of people that jump to conclusions and they go off these. I looked at it as like, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day about how people get their information now. And it's as if you open up the paper and you only look at the headlines. That's like Twitter, right? It's a headline. You don't read the article.
Yeah.
You don't read the article. You don't know you only read headlines and you're supposed to understand everything about that article from the headline. And you hope that whoever wrote the headline knew what they're talking about. Because, but that article has all the actual information, but nobody reads the article anymore. They're just looking at the headlines. And I find that to be, that's one of the reasons why we're in the place we are.
Yeah.
Because nobody's taking the time to understand details of any issue. It seems to be, not nobody, obviously there's a lot of people that do, but there just seems to be the masses in general. They want their little quick hits.
Yeah.
Quick hits. Because as you scroll through Twitter, you just see one thing after another, and you keep mm-hmm. going until you find a headline that sticks out. Boom. And you stop and you look at it, or for whatever reason, whatever
it is.
You
might actually read that one.
You might, you know, I don't know. It's, that's kind of the way that's sort of how I see our society a little bit right now. So,
well, it's, again, John, maybe I'm being too pessimistic, but people are, it just never ceases to amaze me of how gullible people are. You know, I know it's, you know, it's like the old saying was a joke. You know, I know it's true because I read it in the National Enquirer. Well, now. Yeah,
well, Trump used to go off the Enquirer, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he quoted directly from there.
National Enquirer. Yeah, but incredible. Anymore, I know it's the truth because I read it in the internet.
And Fox and Friends, and that's where he got his info.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah. It's, wow, it's just a really sad thing, but. The guy, he was a Syrian Muslim. So he was Muslim.
Yeah. Most Syrians are.
Syrian Muslim. Yeah. Most Syrians are. Used an AR-15. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there was that initial reaction was, mass shooting. Probably thought it was a white guy. And then once they found out he was a Syrian Muslim using, you know, then they didn't know what to do. It was sort of like everything went to a tizzy and everybody's narrative went in different directions. It's like, wait a minute, this doesn't follow what we've been preaching. This thing.
Doesn't fit the pattern.
The only time people do mass shootings is if they have, if it's, a hate crime or something, right?
Yeah.
Or so there's a motivate, what motivated this? So they still don't know what motivated the guy. But my point is that just, people don't know what to do with this, and I guess that's not really a good point. But
well, you know, along those lines, John, it was a couple of days ago, it just so happened this was in Georgia. There was going to be another mass shooting, but as it turned out, this guy was like in the parking lot of a major supermarket, and some woman happened to see his guns, and she called the cops, and he had automatic weapons, kinds of shit. But that was just luck, sheer luck.
Well, then you also have open carry places where people are going to fast food joints with AR-15s around their back, and that's legal.
Sure. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And how is anybody supposed to know that guy's not going to shoot up the place? How is anybody supposed to know? Why is that okay?
No.
And that just sort of like AR-15s and these types of guns. I've been thinking about it. I looked into it a little bit. I was honestly a little ignorant myself about what AR means, how the classifications of different things. So I'm going to briefly just talk about an AR-15 is an Armalite 15. It's not an assault rifle. It's not America's rifle. It's not any of those. And it's Armalite. It's been around a long, long time, since the 60s, I believe. But they've come into favor recently in the last 10 years, big time. And now we're getting close to 3 million a year sold to Americans. Used to be in the hundreds, low hundred thousands, purchased in the country. They're semi-automatic. What makes an assault rifle is the ability to be automatic, and the AR doesn't have that. So it's legal.
But it can be made that way.
It can be made. I think it's called a bump stock. You add it to it.
That's right. But, you got it.
But the assault rifles are already banned in this country. Anything that's considered assault rifle has a fully automatic mode. And those are like military. Those are what the military use, the M16, yes. The M4, things like that. And those are illegal. Those are banned in the United States to own civilians. I think there's a way to get around it, it's really difficult. I was reading a little bit about it. And some of the older weapons before 1986, you might have the ability to own some of those that are automatic. But some states may have different rules, but in general, assault rifles are illegal. So anytime a politician says, let's ban assault rifles, they don't know what they're talking about. They haven't done their homework, and it sort of muddies the waters a little bit and pisses off the right and the gun nuts, because yeah. They're like, you don't even know what you're talking about. You don't even know what an assault rifle is. And I think it is important for people. If you're going to argue for legislation, you should know what you're talking about. At the very least, it will give a little bit more credit. You'll get a little bit more respect from the other side if you know what it is. Come, do your homework. Know what it is. There's also something that Bill Clinton did in 94 that he banned assault weapons. Mm-hmm. He called it assault weapons. And it was effective. It was effective, yeah. But it expired, I think, 2004.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And shootings did go down during that time. I think assault weapons, I think they listed them specifically. They had some specific guns in there that were listed. But it was a little hazy as far as what an assault weapon is. I could pick up this beer and assault you with it. That's an assault weapon. Exactly. There is no actual definition of what an assault weapon is. It's assault rifle has a definition. It's a fully automatic capable rifle. So, sure. So those are some of the details, the nitty gritties of it. Stuff that I just learned, and I think it's important for people to know what they're trying to legislate and trying to get, they're going to get our guns. And like, so people are very passionate about these toys. These toys is all they are. They're toys to get their jollies off, to shoot things and laugh. And it's like being a child. It's like it's a toy. Exactly. It doesn't have any purpose. It's a poor hunting gun. It's not a very good at hunting.
It's not meant to be. It
doesn't really have a lot of purpose.
No, except to kill in mass numbers.
Yeah, it's very good at killing humans.
Yeah.
And so the numbers of these that have sold in the last 10 years have gone skyrocketed. And every time there's a mass shooting, it goes up. And so these gun companies are just loving it. And they're not cheap. These things are expensive, but...
Oh, yeah.
And you got those two ladies in Congress that have them, and they're like posing for these pictures, and I think they're so cool. And it's like, you guys are just the lowest form of life.
I know. Yes, exactly.
It's really, they have no understanding of what that is doing, you know, like how many people are affected by these types of guns. And I understand, like, if you do go look at the numbers, last show, you said, I guarantee you.
No, I was going to say,
the more people have died from guns, and only 14,000 a year are dying from guns.
Yeah.
Which is still a lot, but it's the number of drug deaths is in the 60,000 range.
Yeah. Fans, I have to tell you, it's funny. You just took the words right out of my mouth. I was wrong. I said, I'm sure that more people die of gun violence every year than drug overdoses. That is not true.
There's also something that should be clarified, that a lot of gun people tend to say, including Lauren Boebert.
Oh God.
That more people die of hammer deaths, you know, of hammer attacks than gun violence. That's absolutely not true. I don't know why they say that. So you're talking.
She just says it.
No, but that's something that people say. I've heard it before from other people.
Yeah.
It's like 200 a year, a hammer murders. And it's, handguns are, in the thousands.
Well, how about stabbings?
I don't know about stabbings. Yeah, it's probably up there.
Yes, yeah. Lauren Bull, I hear that name and I cringe. You know, it's
which
like
one? Okay, which one do you like least, Boebert or Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Equally. I can't. Yeah. They are two of the poorest excuses of humanity I think I've ever seen.
They represent a lot of people because they voted.
Oh, I know.
Voted for them.
Yeah.
They had a majority in their district.
Yes, exactly.
To represent their area of where they come from.
And you know what?
That's the part that is, baffling at best.
Yeah, I don't. Well, Ron Johnson. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Ron but again, we start
getting back to that. We start going back to that topic of like, why do people get into politics? And so then you start realizing, okay, I can sort of see how those people could be the number one choice because the people that go into those politics tend to be a little weird. What their motivations are, and they want that to be their lifestyle. And there's there's always going to be some people like that. And there's also, you know, if you look at a group of people, there's always going to be a couple nutty people in any group.
Exactly. You want to do a break?
Yeah, let's do a break.
Okay.
All right.
This sounds good.
Excellent. Enjoy the break. If you're a fan of the John and Tom Show, please share our show on social media of your choice and give us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We'd really appreciate it. Thanks. We've always had cats when I was growing up.
We've had cats. We've had dogs. Probably the best dog we ever had, his name was Rennie. He was a rescue. He was a Bichon.
Great. Those are nice dogs.
Yeah, but he was very old when he died. He was probably over 16.
Yeah. Smaller dogs tend to live longer, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. A lot of people think it's the opposite, but it's not.
Oh, yeah. Some of those, like, Great Danes are like 7-8 years. And,
yes.
You know, those Bernese mountain dogs. Mm-hmm. I love those dogs. They always have a smile on their face, but... 8 years.
Well,
poodles, 8-9 years. It's just crazy.
The average lifespan for like German Shepherds is 9 or 10.
Yeah.
You know, and
so sad these doggies go so quickly. Yeah. I wish they didn't, but they're so special. Never had a dog. We always had cats.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad had a few dogs here and there, but I never had to take care of one. So I got married, and then within 4 months of getting married, we had a dog. We got this dog. And then 2 months after that, she got pregnant. Not the dog, my wife.
Okay. I'm glad you clarified.
Yeah. So again, I want to reiterate that listeners, please feel free to contact us at thejohnandtomshow@gmail.com with any questions or topics that you'd like us to go over. Typically, we are talking about current events, but we're not opposed to talking about bigger things. Like we did a few shows on socialism and communism. I enjoyed that. It's sort of a little deeper dive into... we did that because I felt that those were some of the main reasons that people were voting for Trump.
Yes,
and they were voting for a reason that wasn't even legitimate. They didn't. It's this sort of distorted, view of what those things are, and I think that's kind of happening. Well. It's always happening a little bit on that side. I mean, there's always a distortion of the truth. I mean, right now there's 18 Republican congressmen down at the border. And I just saw on Twitter, Ted Cruz is down like, he was out there at midnight last night on the Rio Grande, basically looking like he's in the jungle. It's like, he's got this, it's a video of him.
Really? I haven't seen that.
You got to check it out. It's like, these guys think they're going to, you know, they're going down there because they think it's, you know, and look, The what's going down right now is it is increasing. It is bad. I mean, they're trying to make it this monumental thing. Like they got to have a wall, and without Trump, everything's going to crap. And it's like, you know, it's just kind of sad how they're, you know, what they're doing. Now they're all going down there and trying to get these sound bites and these video clips of them doing these heroic deeds on the Rio Grande. It's like, give me a break.
Well, one of them down there is our very own Senator Braun is down there. Mike Braun, he's one of them down there, you know. And I, you know, the immigration part, we might as well go ahead and talk about that because I think we're going to anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But one thing about it, when I watched President Biden's news conference yesterday, and the reason they're getting such an influx right now is because Trump is gone.
Well, yeah.
And they feel like they'll get better treatment and everything under Biden. And one thing Biden did, he opened up, they have like 5,000 beds now at Fort Bliss. It's a huge, yeah, Bliss is a huge. there's Sam Houston, there's Bliss, there's Fort Hood. Hood and Bliss are huge. And anyway, in Texas, and Bliss is close to the border, and they opened up 5,000 beds in barracks, which is great. It's like I've said, it's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah.
When people travel, I mean, from the very southern tip of South America through Central America, through Mexico, to try to get to the U.S. That tells me that other countries have big problems.
They have big problems. They have had problems for a very long time.
And
they've always, the United States has been a beacon of hope for many people for a very long time.
Oh, absolutely.
This is not new, right? I think it's complicated because it has gotten a little out of control in some ways. Mm-hmm. There has been a lot of immigrants coming here. I still think we should have strong borders. One thing you can't predict or prevent is people sending their unattended children mm-hmm. to the border. How do you deal with that? It is Harrison Biden, soon to be Harris, I think, but they are saying don't come right now. The borders are closed. That's what they're telling everybody.
Yes, and they've said that. And they've been saying that for days. Yes, they've been saying that.
And they're trying to give that message because it's overcrowded, and it's like this just because Trump's gone doesn't. I mean, like it's funny how. You know, these other countries, they also get bad information. You know, they're getting distorted information, and they're hearing through their family and friends or maybe the news or something that like, oh, you know what? That Biden is going to let you in. And
yeah,
they don't understand. Because they were under the 4 years of Trump, they're realizing, oh man, this guy is a tyrant. He's going to take our children and separate us and do all this stuff and all whatever it is. I don't know the truth of it, but that's what they're hearing. And that's the message that we're getting there. We're starting to keep them away.
That's the message. Yes. Yeah.
And now they're thinking that, I saw a picture, a video of like all these immigrants waiting at the line with Biden shirts on. Yeah, Biden let us in.
You know, I didn't see that, John. Oh, yeah. Was that, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's whatever is true or not, the feeling out there is that the borders are more open now. And
yes,
there's a better chance of getting in now. And it's causing a problem. And I just think that it's almost everything the Republicans do at this point is sort of done in a way that is not for the benefit of the country. It's to benefit their own party, or to benefit or try to make themselves look good to their fan base or their voter base.
All they care about is re-election.
Re-election and just solidifying that sort of, that vibe. And it's not ever for the betterment of the country as a whole.
Oh, absolutely never not. For that. No. And, it one thing you got to say about Biden, okay, you want to talk about immigration. During the Trump administration, when they closed the borders, they would put the ones that made it in here were put in big cages. That's adults and children in what are basically big cages. Mm-hmm. However, now Biden is thinking we've got to treat these people humanely. They're here. We've got to do something with them. We can't let especially children live like this. Yeah. So he has made, you know, like I said, they've opened up barracks.
Okay.
Large army barracks, you know, decent places to house people. But Trump never did that.
I haven't been able to ascertain what's really going on down there. And I think it may be the only way to really know is to go down there and see for yourself. Because, like, it's hard to know with the media and everything. The Republicans are making it seem like this is a travesty and everything. And I don't know. And I stayed abreast of the news pretty good. And I'm having a hard time figuring out what's really going on.
Yeah, I am, you know, too.
I can't make any definitive statements about anything. Like, I think we're going to need to just kind of press the pause button and wait to see, you know, some definitive evidence of what's going on down there. Because right now I'm hearing conflicting stories of how people are being treated. But I do know that there has been a big influx of more people trying to cross the border. And which is, you know, it's an unfortunate situation, especially the unattended the minors who are coming by themselves. Just trying to figure out what to do with them.
But what a desperate.
But what I had said before was that I hoped that Mexico would step up. And, yes. And it sounds like they are. And it also, I heard that Biden is actually making, Biden and his administration are making a big, strong effort to do just that, to get Mexico more involved, mm-hmm. and maybe even using the COVID vaccines as a bargaining chip.
Now this is news to me, John.
Giving more vaccines to Mexico.
Okay.
If you help us with the immigration issue. And I think that, you know, I hate to, it sounds like it's very political and backhanded, but hey, you know, we both have things we need.
Exactly.
And so one of the things is tightening the southern border of Mexico. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Tightening that southern border of Mexico.
Yeah, so they can't come up through Central America and all. Yeah.
You guys need to make that stronger. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, because I think there's a very high percentage of people trying to get in are not from Mexico. They're from the many countries of Central America.
Oh, yeah. They're from South and Central America and some Mexicans.
Because Mexico does have its problems, but the thriving drug market is keeping the economy afloat.
You know, it's funny you should mention that, because I'm thinking, well, how could Mexico be hurting for money because of the billions and billions of dollars all the Mexican drug cartels have? All the money has been washed through Mexican banks and all that. I mean, come on.
Let me pump the brakes a little bit. I don't want to just totally throw Mexico under the bus here. They do have legitimate businesses and their actual economy. But I do think that the numbers, when you look at the numbers of the amount of income that's generated from drugs and the drug trade, the narcos, mm-hmm. and how it's all disseminated throughout their economy, through all the decision makers and politicians and everybody who's important gets a piece of that. And that money gets spent in the country. And that's how their economy thrives. Probably 50%. I'm throwing that number out there.
Well, how else, John, do you think they control the federal federal police, the local police, the banks. I mean, this is big money.
And it's a different cultural thing. Like if you, it's specific, it's kind of specific to Mexico, because Mexico, they do seem to, in some ways, really take care of their own. They're very family oriented people, but then they're also like, they can easily get crossed and it can be bad news.
You and your family can wind up in a ditch somewhere.
Come back to that. It's like the family is so powerful that they're willing to kill anyone not in your family or not on your side. And they're willing to go to that extreme very quickly. But I don't know. It's somewhat unique to Mexico, that particular style of doing business or whatever you call it. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, but sort of segues me a little bit. I don't want to, I'm not quite done with immigration, but my previous discussion on legalizing drugs, I do think would really handicap Mexico Mexico's economy.
Oh, yeah, and Colombia. And, you know, those aren't the only two. I mean, a lot of those, a lot of South and Central America.
But it would just, but we could just tax it, and it would, you would reduce all of the, the prisons here would empty out, you know, all the drug related, you know, arrests and sentences that have to do with drugs. And you get to tax all that. That's all taxable stuff. I don't really think that people that aren't doing drugs already are going to start because it's legal. I just don't see that very much. Maybe 2 to 3%, maybe, let's say 5% at the most. You see that in places that have legalized marijuana. There's been very little new usership because it's legal.
Exactly. Yes.
You either use it or you don't. And so,
you know, and that's,
and then, so you talk about gun. I think we may have talked about this in the last episode, but the last episode was not my favorite, but we're moving on. The guns are legal for the most part. A lot of them, except for assault rifles, but drugs aren't. And so they both do a huge amount of harm. Mostly drugs just hurt yourself, though, right?
True.
Whereas a gun can hurt many people.
Oh, yeah.
But that's okay. And also, alcohol is a drug. Alcohol is a very strong drug. Mm-hmm. And lots of people die from alcohol in many ways. It causes a lot of problems in our country. Yeah. Why is that drug okay, but these other drugs are not? I don't know. I personally think in a free society that drugs should be legal. And and again, it's a personal choice to own a gun, or it's a personal choice to go out and do recreational drugs. And in a free society, you should have that right. But I just don't think there's going to be all these new users if you legalize these heroin. No. Yeah, people aren't going to go out and start doing heroin.
You know,
it's
just, John,
not going to happen.
It's like if they drop the price of cigarettes back down to a nickel a pack, do you really think more people are going to start smoking?
Nobody's smoking. Very few people are smoking anymore, right?
No, that's just it. I mean, I don't care what the price of cigarettes. I don't care because I don't smoke, and I have no intention of smoking.
Yeah, I think I know a lot of people. It goes back pretty far, how drugs have been demonized in Reefer Madness and all these things about drugs. And it's very systematic in our country about how people view people that do drugs.
Oh, I know.
And it's like the stigma of someone that does drugs. And I don't even really like drugs. I like a beer or two and maybe an occasional whiskey. I don't really like, I'm not a huge drug person at all.
No, neither am I. In my hippie days, I did a lot, but now.
When you're exploring as a younger person, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, but everybody's different. They have their own, you know, their own personal choice as, you know. I don't know. I feel like a free society, a truly free society, if you're going to allow guns, you're going to allow alcohol, you're going to allow cigarettes, why would you stop there, you know?
If you're going to allow gambling.
Gambling, yeah.
You know, look how many years it took. Okay, for years, gambling was illegal in a lot of states. Of course, Indiana.
It just brings in revenue. That's why.
Exactly. Well,
but it hurts a lot of people.
But what happened was somebody opened their eyes and said, gee, if we have state lotteries, we can. I don't know how it is any place else.
That's gambling. Ladies and gentlemen, lottery is gambling.
It is gambling. I don't know how it is anywhere else, but in Indiana, if you buy a lottery ticket for $1, 50 cents of that goes into the pot.
What pot?
50 cents. No, for the total, the amount you can win.
Oh, okay.
Okay. 50% goes to state taxes.
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, gee, why didn't you do this years ago? I mean, come on, this is a big... Well, in fact, the state taxes on gambling in Nevada are so high, they don't have state income tax. As a citizen of Nevada, you can go to college, you know, and it's just like Texas did with oil for years. Their economy is so tied into oil and the taxes that go to oil, they have all these benefits. But yeah. the only thing, but Indiana, we didn't have gambling. We didn't have oil. But a lot of other states like Ohio, you know, the Midwest, you know, finally opened our eyes and said, gee whiz, if we have lotteries, we can make a lot of money off of this. And that's what it all goes back to. Anyway, John, it's always all about money.
I think eventually it's going to happen. I think, you know, as we evolve as people, you know, think life has changed so much in the last 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to continue to evolve and change in ways that we don't even know. And I think, like, look, anybody think that, like, marijuana would be illegal? I mean, would be legal now in certain states?
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I think in this administration, it's possible that it could be federally legal. Harris is pro weed. Biden is not. Mm-hmm. So if Biden kicks the bucket or leaves, Harris is going to take over. Well, she's going to legalize. She's pro-legalize. Yeah. Yeah. But it's funny because recently Biden just got rid of anybody that smoked weed. This is really weird.
Yeah, they fired five of them, I think.
What the heck?
Yeah, five of them.
I mean, Obama smoked weed. So what's he doing?
Yeah, five of them got canned for using marijuana.
I don't know if there's anything that Biden does that hasn't been approved by like 15 people. He is just hanging on by a thread.
Yeah. Well, but
he's doing pretty good though, considering he's that old and he's like, you can tell his functions are starting to go. He's doing pretty good. He's doing all right.
But now be careful with saying me about that old. I mean,
you're a baby compared to him.
Oh, well, yeah, right. 10 years, I think.
But 10 years is a long time.
Okay.
But you're a spring chicken in my book.
Okay. Well, you know, I feel like one. I know I look like one.
You look like one.
I know. You know, I go, the chicks still won't leave me alone. And I'm like, you know, some folks have got it and some ain't.
It's amazing. But
getting back to the money on vices, let's say vices.
Sure.
Alcohol, tobacco, drugs, all this, prostitution.
That's a good one.
It is. I mean,
add it to the mix. Sprinkle a little prostitution on the mix. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But anyway, when they enacted the Volstead Act, that was what outlawed alcohol in America. Okay, so they institute the Volstead Act. Now it's evil. But now, like when moonshiners and all that were running their operations and the government was after them, they call them revenuers. And you know why they call them revenuers? Because the only reason that they went after these people is because it was not taxed. The government wasn't getting its cut of the action. So that's why it was actually state the revenue that went after them. It wasn't so much the cops and all that. It was the U.S. government going after them because they're not paying taxes on any of this.
It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And to no fault of the government.
Well, this is true because it's outlawed. But my point is, John, the government didn't give a damn about the quality of this stuff that was coming out of stills and bathtubs and whatever. They couldn't have cared less about that. The fact is, what had them upset is because there's no taxes being paid on it.
Yeah, but why would a government care about the quality?
Exactly.
Why should they? Shouldn't that be regulated by the free market?
Well, yeah.
Supply and demand. If something sucks, it doesn't sell.
Well, in fact, it's the free market that killed the Volstead Act, finally. Because the majority of people, and finally, Roosevelt said, hey, what's wrong? When he ran in 32, he said, what's wrong with the drink now? And then within months of him being elected, they abolished prohibition. In the 21st Amendment. But it was all about money, John.
I kind of want to study prohibition a little bit. I mean, it's interesting because that was that after the Depression or during the Depression?
That was during the Depression.
During the Depression.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was. It was pre.
Like partially?
It was, yeah. It was pre and post Depression.
Yeah.
God, I'm trying. It was in the 20s, and I'm trying.
It wasn't that long of a
time, was it? How many years was it? Two or three years?
No. It was longer than that.
Jeez, I got a lot to learn on prohibition. That'll be our next discussion.
But anyway, it finally, people just got outraged and looked, this bullshit. We want our beer. You know?
And, well, there were speakeasies and everywhere, too.
Oh, hell yes.
It was happening.
Well, but you got to figure, they're kind of like, they were kind of like the drug cartels at the time. I mean, the mobs in
Chicago. It's a good thing to sort of examine a little bit. Examine the cost of during prohibition, mm-hmm. of the government cost. Like, how much did it cost to, like, police alcohol during that time?
And good
how much
point.
How much of that, you know, and then, you know, same thing with weed. And now, I don't know. And they have different classifications for drugs, too. Like, I don't know what they are, but.
Well, as a dentist, I had a DEA license.
Oh, wow.
And that meant because of narcotics, you have to have a DEA license to legally prescribe controlled substances.
Yeah.
And there were like five classifications. Number one was all the illegal stuff, heroin, cocaine, all that. Then you get into Schedule II, you're talking about the more powerful prescription narcotics.
Opiates.
Yeah, and I was, and you can ask Eric about that. Yes, and I was licensed from Schedule 2 to Schedule 5. Mm. No, the only people that could do Schedule 1 were ones that were certified to do research and whatever and blah, blah, you know.
Yep.
But yeah, there were five, I'm pretty sure it's five classifications, but you had the drug.
But heroin is an opiate.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
absolutely
same thing, right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact,
isn't it just morphine?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's morphine. It's a version of morphine.
Yeah. It is the mother of all
opiates
analgesic.
Have been around for a very long
time. Oh, they in China.
Opium trade of China,
it,
right?
It like goes back, in, it goes back hundreds of years.
I mean, we're talking thousands, maybe thousands.
Yeah, 1,000 years. Yeah. And you know what's funny? It's cocoa leaves, you know, or poppy. Yeah. Okay, you know what people originally used that for? Diarrhea.
Well, I mean, it's going to make you feel better.
Yeah, but they didn't do it to get high or kill pain. They did it to control diarrhea because
they took it orally or the other way.
Oh yeah. I don't know. They'd smoke it. I don't know, but anyway, because one of the problems you get into with opiate addiction, it slows gut motility. Yeah.
Constipation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. That's one of the side effects.
Exactly. Yeah. But from what I've read historically, that's what people originally used it for because they found out if they ingested this, it would stop diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, diarrhea can be deadly.
Well, okay, so let's think about like these are coming from natural poppy.
Oh, the poppy, sure.
Poppy plant, coca leaf.
Mm-hmm.
These are natural. Yes. Origins.
They are natural.
Marijuana
absolutely
grows naturally. Mm-hmm. So how can it be? Why does it have to be illegal? Right. These are natural plants.
Yes. No. No. It's true. It's true. This came from nature, John.
I know. That's what I'm saying. And gosh, I am not a druggie. I don't even really like them. I don't like them. I prefer just a couple beers. That's good. I mean, you know, I like a little light buzz and a couple beers. That's it. Don't think that I'm this like wacky, you know, drug person. I think there's a lot of benefits for looking into and researching and considering this idea, you know,
sure.
And maybe it's a future idea. But I think we're getting close to being ready for it. I mean,
because
a lot of things are changing in this world. That could be one of them, you know? And I just think it would be such a benefit to the prison system to the policing, oh, the cost God. Of policing, the cost of prisons, the, all that, well, all the violent, court, courts, the violent crime, this, the violent crime,
know.
Right?
I know.
And Mexico's economy, they would have to figure out a better way to make the much as much money as they're making, you know, and well, maybe that would result in a whole litany of other issues. Maybe there'd be more people at the border trying to come up, but.
yeah, this is a good point.
I don't know.
Yes. Yeah,
like, be careful what you wish for.
I lost my job with the drug cartel. Will you take me in?
Yeah. I just wish we could simplify a little bit, or, you know, get back to, like, we need, like, sheep herders and goat herders and just, like, you know, blacksmiths and people that make things and just you know, smaller communities where you just... I think mass production was a big problem, but I don't want to go down that road. That's sort of like when you start make mass producing things, and you know, that caused a lot of that the beginning of that just took us down a road of changing humanity a little bit.
You know? Well, you know, throughout history, there have always been major events that had major impact on human society, and the industrial age was probably the industrial revolution was one of, if not the biggest impacts, right. You know, I mean,
culturally, things, family, exactly. Everything.
Just we went from an agrarian everything. Society to now we're urban, we're manufacturing. And before that, I mean, this was an agrarian society.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't, you know, most people lived off the land. They were farmers.
In Indiana.
Well,
they still had cities, though.
Yeah, they still had cities.
Bankers.
But then all of a sudden, with the Industrial Revolution, people are leaving those and going to work in factories.
Yeah, so that's the thing, factories. Factory jobs, manufacturing, blah, blah, blah. Mass production of things. And you know what happens with mass production, too? The dilution of the quality of the product.
Oh, absolutely,
And you start using things like rice and corn in your beer.
Like Budweiser does.
Like Budweiser. Yeah. So I'm not for, I don't know. I mean, but then again, I mean, there's something to be said. I've heard the other side of it, which is like, you know, you can feed more people. You can reach more people. And there's some people that can't, but I don't know. It's complicated. That's a podcast on its own. I think just talking about small communities, cultures, and you know, mass production does provide a lot of, you know, material goods for people easily. But at what cost? I mean, now we're in a society where Amazon is everything.
Oh, yeah.
Amazon is everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can get whatever you want on Amazon at any time of day. You know, you could be Trump at 2 a.m. sitting on the pot, order something from Amazon, shows up next day.
Oh, yeah.
He loves to tweet at 2 a.m. on while he's on the pot.
Oh, yeah. Well, hell, the tweet was his middle name. Yeah. I mean, when wasn't he tweeting? Well, I think he was tweeting when he was sitting in the Oval Office and should have had his attention directed to other things, but he's tweeting.
I feel like it's becoming a bit of a memory, a distant memory now. It's nice.
You know?
Makes me feel good.
It's funny because I read somewhere that you know, really, I'm a pessimist when it comes to this kind of crap. I mean, I'll tell you, but...
That's good.
But this said, you know, look, give it time. Trump will fade away. Yeah. And I think that's starting to happen.
Well, also be a pessimist in thinking that he's going to fade away.
Yeah. Well, you know...
Remember that he's like a cockroach. He won't die. You can step on him 10 times. He's going to come back.
Yeah. You know, it's,
dehumanizing him. I'm just saying like it was an analogy. Okay. He will come back. That guy is resilient.
Well,
he's resilient.
I forget where I read years ago. It said, you know, the cockroach and the ant will inherit the world.
Well, those things have been around since the dinosaurs.
Absolutely. Okay?
So, yeah, so the bugs are,
they are
a little bit smarter than us.
Oh, yeah. But
we just got big-ass brains.
But here's, yeah, maybe we got too much.
Maybe.
But anyway, you know, going back to our buddy Trump again, I mean, it seems like we always wind up talking about
You him. Like talking about him more than I do.
Well, I think you're right. But this business is his flame starting to flicker, okay? So I think you heard, I'm sure you've heard in the last few days that he's talking about starting
his own
social media on the internet so he can't be censored or canceled or whatever the hell we're calling it now.
Yeah.
That is an act of desperation.
To be determined. I think his family is like Ivanka and Jared and Donald Jr. They're all very they are kind of diabolical, and they want to stay in power, you know, somehow. Oh, yeah. They want to do everything they can, and they actually have a lot of high powered people on their side.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to go away. Okay.
No, not quietly.
I certainly hope that his new social media platform is an act of desperation and it fizzles out like, you know, something that never was. But I don't ever underestimate them.
Oh, no, I don't.
The last thing you want to do is underestimate them. And I think that's one of the biggest flaws of the left.
Mm-hmm.
They underestimate them and they still do.
John, I underestimated Trump.
You're still underestimating him.
Yeah, and I am.
And at times I do too. I think on the last couple of podcasts I've said he's done. Don't underestimate him.
Don't underestimate him. Exactly. I underestimated him terribly in 2016 because I remember a dental colleague of mine and I, we were talking about that. I said, there's no way in hell this lunatic is ever even going to get nominated.
You've mentioned that a few times.
Yeah. And I was wrong.
We were wrong.
You're right. But we were all wrong. Yes. But I'm just saying your point is very well taken with me. I underestimated him then. And I think I'm still doing it to some extent now.
Right. And I have done it. Even on the last podcast, I think I said he's done. Like,
well,
I got to
stop
that.
No, you
got
to
stop that.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
You can't go there because you have to remain vigilant. Sorry. You have to remain vigilant and because they always have something up their sleeve and they're a little bit more cunning than you realize.
Back in your early 20s. They were touting that Hitler was done.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Nazi Party had suffered some really bad defeats. And, you know, Hitler's done. Well, lo and behold, in 1933, he's chancellor.
Well, you also don't know because, like, there could be a perfect storm of other events in the world that make it possible for this, for this person to come
Absolutely.
To light. And I think that's what happened in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
That's what happened in 2016. Yeah. The only way that a guy like that could become president is all the events, then random things that came together. The universe is like,
it
was almost like the universe said, the United States, you guys need to learn a lesson. We're going to put this MF-er in power for 4 years, and you're going to see how bad it could be.
Yeah.
And we're gonna let this happen. I'm going to allow this to happen.
Because, this might be karma. I don't. Yeah.
No, it is karma because there's some but there's a lot of variables and random events out there that could cause these things to happen. Mm-hmm. And again, that's why you have to be vigilant and you have to remember like we don't know everything. We only know a little bit, and things come out of nowhere and change things so fast.
Yes.
Like things can be changed really really fast.
Variables, my friend.
Variables and things you never saw coming. And we never saw Trump coming. We probably should have, but we didn't. And he came and he was there for 4 long years. And by the grace of whoever, he's gone, at least for now.
Yeah.
And his namesakes too. But I don't know, man. I just think that I'm happy that
he's gone.
He's gone. I don't have to think about it. Thanks for joining us for part one of episode 13. Part two will come out next week. If you have any questions or suggestions for show topics, please email us at thejohnandtomshow@gmail.com.